So Linda, it's, thank you for talking to us about your book. Could you tell us from your experience how can research address some of the problems you've identified in your story? There's a terrible stigma still involved around mental health, and you've identified the importance of talking as well as pills for supporting people who are unwell, and the problems with NHS management in progressing modern mental health care. So is there anything research can do to help some of these problems?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I do think that one of the things we've got to research more about is the stigma that exists in mental health care, actually in the profession itself, in the medical profession, and also in mental in health service management. I think everyone says, oh, stigma's a terrible thing, we must do something about that. But one thing that service users have said to me many times, and something I've experienced as a service user myself, is that there is a stigma amongst one's colleagues and amongst one's managers about mental health. And I think that we should be doing more to actually find out why those, exactly what those attitudes are and why they're held, and try and get past this statement that people make, which is very public, that, you know, we don't stigmatise people with mental health care. You know, it's a terrible thing to do. And yet we know in practice, in reality, those things happen. And I think we really have to try and understand a bit more if we're going to challenge them. Because one of the things that really strikes me in my life, how little attitudes have changed from some of the attitudes I came across when I worked in an asylum, are still there in the community.
I mean, I suppose that hits at one of the things we know as researchers is really difficult. We do lots of research, and translating it into practice to get actual change on the ground is really challenging. So we can do research and find and explore the attitudes of social workers, psychiatrists, psychologists, you know, a range of professionals on things, and come up with recommendations for change, but getting them to change is the big issue.
Yeah.
So in terms of your work as a researcher, is there anything you've come across that's really made a difference in terms of translating all that work you've done into practical change on the ground?
I do think that people's stories are very, very important. That simply presenting the results of trials doesn't have much of an impact on people, on them personally. But what I have witnessed is that when you bring in, or someone talks about their own experience to a group of members of staff and managers and so on, it hits them, because they actually realise this person isn't very much different from them, if at all. And so I really do think that we need to get away from always thinking that it's about giving people the facts and figures. I know the facts and figures are important. I know that guidelines are important and so on. But I do think you actually have to try and translate those into real stories, with real people telling them. And that, to me, is one of the ways that you really do start to bring about change.
Well, that might lead into my next question, actually, because on reading your book, which I really thoroughly enjoyed, we learn a lot about how your experience as a service user affected you as the psychiatrist, and we learn less about your research career. So I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you feel your experiences of depression have impacted on you, the academic.
Well, I've spent most of my career researching depression and anxiety, which is, you know, one of the things I've suffered from. So I think that what it has done increasingly, as time went by in my research career, I became much more interested in qualitative research. As a psychiatrist, there wasn't much emphasis on that in my training at all. It was all about numbers and about statistics and quantitative work. And then as I began to get much more into qualitative work, and that, I think a lot of that was driven by my need to actually be doing something in my research that reflected my interest in depression, mm-hmm. my experience, and actually trying to use some of my skills to understand other people's experience in research.
So that comes back to the story that we were talking about earlier in terms of the numbers are important and the trials, but there's something about understanding the journey that people take, the story behind that, that helps maybe translate these things into practical things for change that potentially are obviously important for you, the patient.
Yes. I think one of the most difficult things when you're doing qualitative research, if you are a clinician, and I've had my students have said this to me when they've been clinicians, they find it quite hard sometimes to not want to change things for people. I think when you've also used services as well, that hits you even more sometimes. And there was an example in the book of a person I went to interview when I was doing research. Mm. And it's quite painful when you're talking to someone, when you're talking to them as a researcher, and you know that you can't intervene in any way, but you do understand how they're feeling, and I think all researchers feel that, and there's nothing wrong in feeling that. It's part of us being human.
Mm. I mean, one of the projects we're working on together now, we actually have service user researchers in the team, and we're actually asking them to explicitly draw on their lived experience and say, you know, I'm so and so, and I have experience of psychosis, and you know, as a way of helping to recruit people. Have you ever drawn on your experience as a researcher in that kind of role when you were interviewing people? Did you ever cross that boundary?
And no, I didn't. I didn't cross that boundary. What I have worked with is that I've worked with people from the same ethnic community who very often experienced some of the same things that the people they're interviewing have experienced. But I haven't done that personally. I do know from my experience of working with people who've experienced similar things is that it's just so important to give them plenty of time to support them, because they feel that even more. They feel they really do feel the pain of people who are experiencing similar things to themselves, particularly if they're not getting good services. It's really hard.
I mean, I suppose as researchers, we all try and build empathy. We try, whatever our experience, however maybe well matched we are to the person that we're interviewing or we're working with. So in terms of, even if you're not being explicit, you know, I suppose I'm interested that there are other ways in which your experience of depression would have impacted, A, on the choice of subject. You've already spoken about, you've mostly researched depression and anxiety, but also, you know, the way you wrote information sheets, the way you approach people, the way that interview went, I imagine was impacted at one level on the fact that you have a level of empathy, having experienced things that broadly might be similar to somebody.
Yes, and I think it particularly influenced me because I spent a lot of time researching communication and in trying to help teach and do research into how doctors and patients communicate, and I spent a lot of my life doing that with GPs. And also when I was doing research myself, using my own experience, I guess, to help find the right words. To particularly, one of the things I've focused on a lot in my research is engaging people and actually trying to engage them as human beings, not just asking them a series of questions in a very sort of computer-like way. And that's something I've become very interested in, and I'm sure a lot of that is to do with my own experience of needing to be engaged.
Yeah, and so you've spoken about the engagement element as a priority in your research and communication. Has, in terms of the other work that you've done, in terms of, you know, as you say, you've had a long academic career, has that other work that you've done that you feel you've done it because you were particularly interested in it, you saw the need for the research because you were somebody that's experienced depression, or, you know, because obviously there's only so many hours in the day and there's so much research to be done. Did it help you prioritise where you put your energies?
Yes, I think it did. I mean, I've not researched much in the area of psychosis, although increasingly I have in the last few years. A lot of my interest has been around how people access services. And I think some of that was to do with knowing that I've been fortunate in how I've been able to access services, probably because of who I am. But members of my family